Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And John Michaels on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
We're back here in the Kia studio, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, giving away some tickets to Dead & Company. Congratulations to Chris, who got the correct answer and said Rick Kamla has been in the Grateful Dead abyss for 20 years.
Him and Bill Walton, right? him and Bill Walton.
I think they were on tour, you know, in a tent, maybe sleeping in a sleeping bag. Because I'll ask Rick, like, hey, you remember the game in 98? Nah, that was in the Grateful Dead abyss. Hey, do you remember when Clinton was elected president? Nah, that was in the Grateful Dead abyss. Hey, what about the Gulf War? Nope, Grateful Dead abyss.
Well, the Grateful Dead, they're what, hard? Is it a hard rock?
Or? No, it's more, what would you call the Grateful Dead?
A hippie jam band.
Yeah,
hippie jam.
Okay, all right. I mean, I know Bill Walsh is big into them. I can see Rick into them. You think Arch is into them?
Arch is more of a classic rock guy.
Classic rock guy, okay.
Yeah, you play some Boston or some Kansas or some Zeppelin. But Arch, we'll get Arch here on in just a second. What is this?
Grateful Dead.
Really? This would put me to sleep.
I'm telling you, hippie jam band.
Okay. I know they've got a huge following. The Deadheads are everywhere. Head out now on thewadeford.com. Hotline, he's not a Deadhead, but he will punch you in the head. It's Falcons radio analyst Dave Archer on thewadeford.com hotline. Arch, were you a Grateful Dead guy at all?
No.
But there's a straight answer. I told Randy, you will actually surprise us because you will. You're into the funk. You're into some of the soul from the 70s. Every now and then, something Arch will come on. Arch will be like, that's Confunction. What do you know about that?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You drop a little Parliament, a little Confunction.
My man.
A little Slave. Drop a little Slave on somebody. Oh. They don't know anything about that, Randy.
They don't know nothing about that, Arch, because I don't care what anybody says. Jimi Hendrix was a bad boy with a guitar. Bootsy can go toe-to-toe with him, though. Because Bootsy was bad on them strings.
No question. You're dead on, baby.
All right, let's talk some football. A huge win on Monday night, Arch, and we were lucky enough to be on the call out there in Seattle. Gritty, gutty, comes down to the wire. Blair Walsh coming up just short. Falcons are 6-4. What impressed you the most on Monday night with our Falcons?
Well, I think it's probably that, John. I mean, you know that deep in your mind, I guess, as a player, probably as a coach, huge game. None of us that play the game want to say anything's a must win until you're in a situation where you're in elimination mode. This was a game kind of deep down had some elimination elements to it because of where you're stacked up in the playoffs picture. Yes, you have an opportunity to take care of your own division with those division games coming, but you're in a hole a little bit. And so you needed to take care of some teams that are around you that potentially could be pushing on you for one of those other playoff spots. Seattle was that team. And I think taking care of that business with that kind of hanging over your head, going out and playing a good, clean game on offense, didn't play well on special teams, and that's something they're going to have to fix. You can bet that Tampa's going to try to attack them in that area. But I thought you did enough defensively, and I thought you continued to play a little bit better efficiently on offense. Not great running the ball, but efficient in the red zone and efficient on third down, that it was able to get you the win.
Arch, going back to special teams, I mean, when you're looking at this coverage unit, was it more or less guys getting avoiding blocks the wrong way? Were they stuck on blocks? New guys on the kickoff team? What did you see from your vantage point as far as the kicking game?
Well, I thought, first of all, it looked like Seattle had game planned pretty hard for that, Randy. I thought that they did a really good job of understanding where to catch the Falcon coverage guys, what yardage to catch them at, and where they began to break down. You know, you covered kicks. There's a time when you're running full speed, and then you begin to break down to get yourself in position to leverage whatever blocker you've got and then be in position to make the tackle based on where the kick is. I thought they had a pretty good idea where Atlanta was breaking down to begin to leverage the kicker. And then Atlanta couldn't disengage from blocks like you're talking about. So I thought that they did a nice job of game planning that. They also game planned our kickoff return team. They kicked the ball right at Ben Garland twice. one time Ben Garland didn't even know the ball was in his area, and that was the play where Andre Roberts really made a poor decision to try to scoop it instead of fall on it. They ended up with the ball inside the 15-yard line. So I thought Seattle out-game-planned as a special team, certainly on the kickoff coverage and kickoff return units.
Arch, while you were absolutely right in kick coverage and kick return and all the things that the Falcons struggled, one of the biggest plays of the game was on a field goal block where they were able to come up with a stop on a fake field goal from Seattle. I heard Pete Carroll's explanation as we were leaving the stadium. He was like, that's a play that we could have popped for a touchdown. Are you surprised he tried to fake it, especially with the down and distance where they were at?
Absolutely. I thought it was a bad call. Now, coaches have a tendency not to be revisionist history type guys where they look back and say, hey, you know, I didn't make a mistake. We just didn't execute it. That's what you generally get. That's a bad decision. Knowing you're going to get the ball to start the second half, you make that a 24-20 game. Now you can take the lead with a touchdown. You knew it was going to be a down-to-the-wire possession type game. This was not going to be a game that either team was going to run off with, so points were a premium, and a little surprised that he did that. I thought it was a bad decision.
Arch, early in the show, me and John were talking about if Atlanta's defensive line was playing against a statue quarterback, they might have had 8 to 9 sacks. How impressed were you at Russell Wilson, what he's able to do, and how he's basically carrying that offense all by himself?
Yeah, you're all over it, Randy. I think he is in the MVP conversation. The guy has done everything for him. Came into the game, their leading rusher. He was that again Monday night. Their favorite set right now is a 5-wide set, and let him pick and choose when he's going to take off, throw the quick game. They've loaded the whole game. That's not the beast mode team anymore. That's Russell Wilson's team, and he damn near beat us on Sunday or on Monday night because of his ability to extend plays. Do all the things that he does. Now, he has a tendency, and because of the fumble recovery by Adrian Claiborne, that was on him. That was him trying to extend something that wasn't there. He got hit, coughed the ball up, and we got a score on it. So he's still trying to kind of manage that as well as be their bell cow person, both throwing the ball and running it. But you can't – he's one of the top five players right now at his position, I think, and they're loading a lot on his shoulders.
We've got Arch with us here on the WadeFord.com hotline, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Falcons made a transaction yesterday. Jalen Collins back off suspension, and they decided to waive him. Are you surprised that he didn't get maybe what would be a third chance here in Atlanta?
Well, maybe a little bit because, you know, to a certain extent, John, you and I are on the outside looking in. Even though we're really close to the team, those inner working decisions as to, you know, how Thomas and how Coach Quinn, as they reflected on what Jalen Thomas had brought to the table, how he hurt the team, how he was selfish, those type of things. Those are, you know, those behind closed doors type meetings that you and I aren't in. And so with hearing Coach Quinn's explanation that you guys played a few moments ago when Coach Quinn was on with the morning show, I get it. I understand. Now, this is Coach Quinn talks about it being a brotherhood, being accountable, and all those type of things. All of that flew in the face of what Coach Quinn's talking about with what Jalen Collins was doing and his selfishness. So I certainly understand it. He's a talented, talented player. Hopefully he gets another opportunity. Hopefully he's smart enough to take advantage of his third opportunity, but it won't be here in Atlanta.
Well, Arch, if, say, for instance, the corners weren't playing well, do you think it would have been a possibility that you keep him?
Well, again, that's obviously hypothetical.
Right.
Yeah, you're talking about an extremely talented player. I think based on his the way he answered the question, he had damaged the relationship enough to where he was not trustworthy. So if you're not trustworthy handling your business away from the game, you know as well as I do, Randy, it's hard to tell a guy to go in and play cover one and all of a sudden he's playing – or play cover four and he's playing cover one or whatever it is. Hard to trust the guy when he can't handle his business away from the team. So I certainly get why they did what they did.
Arch, obviously the big win in Seattle, but it's a quick turnaround now to a division game, and we've got a lot of them coming up against Tampa. No Jameis Winston, Ryan Fitzpatrick in there for the Buccaneers. How do the Falcons take advantage of a guy that might give you the football a couple of times?
Well, I think they're playing better now, John, than they were earlier in the year. I think Fitzpatrick fits into what Dirk Cutter wants to be done. I just got through watching the Miami tape. He played well. He did a nice job of getting the ball down the field. He's throwing intermediately well. Not a deep ball thrower by any stretch of the imagination, but He throws the deep comeback, the deep end route. They are a good screen team. I think they're playing more efficient right now over their last two games than they played when Winston was in the game. So, I'd be honest with you, frankly, right now where Jameis is with his mistakes and really indecision in the offense, I think they're better off right now with Winston on the sideline. And I think they're defensively love their defense too. You've got to love McCoy. I love the two linebackers, Lavonte David and Quan Alexander. I think this is going to be a tough matchup. Now, I know the record doesn't look like it. I think this is going to be a tough game.
I'm with you on that, Dave, because my whole thing with Tampa was I wanted to see them, their whole 22, because they had a lot of injuries coming into this game. What opposition does Doug Martin present? Because right now he seems like he's getting back into the groove of things.
Yeah, I would agree with you, Randy. I think Martin is a guy that fits the system pretty good. He's a guy who can catch it out of the backfield. He's a good draw and screen back, which they'll use him as. They do use some I formation, ISO stuff with a fullback in front of him, which Dirk used here when he was the OC here. So there's a nice mix of how they're using. He's not a giant back, obviously, but he's certainly a guy that is very serviceable in what they do. So I think that, he's going to be a problem. He's been a problem for us in the past. John, you remember him coming in here us up a couple of times. So you're going to have to make sure you get to number 22 on the ground.
Well, one of the things you talked about in the open, Arch, Matt Ryan playing better football. And over the last 4 weeks, he's been really good. He took care of the ball in Seattle, although he saw that 64 games in a row throwing for over 200 yards go out the window. What's Matt done better? Do you think it's something with him and Sark, or is it just Matt being more comfortable in the offense?
No, I think there's a blend of the two. I think that there's no question he's beginning to feel more and more comfortable with what Sark's calling in certain situations. I think that Matt's done a better job of distributing the ball to guys that are going to make plays in the right positions, and I think he's done a really good job over the last couple of weeks at the line of scrimmage, especially in the run game. He's done a great job of figuring out, and Randy, you know this, when you try to run away from that support safety, teams that want to play you too high, you got to be able to run the game, run the ball against a too-high safety team. But teams try to bluff it, and they'll try to rock a safety down in the box for that extra defender. And Ryan's done a really good job of reading the defense and holding the snap count to the last moment and running away from support. And I think he's really has done a really good job the last 2 weeks with that. So I think Matt's just, you know, playing a little bit better probably, but I think his blend with Sark has been better as well.
Speaking of Sark, and Dave, I said this earlier this week on the show, very rarely do you see a coordinator that gets a new coordinator job and they have to learn the offense. They usually bring and install their offense. Do you think that that Sark has finally got a grasp on this offense and knows where he wants to get guys and put them in position to make plays?
I think the latter part of what you just said is probably the more important part, is that he understands his personnel a little bit better. Mm-hmm. I think it would, you know, you can look at it on tape, Randy, and you can practice in preseason and maybe even see a little bit in preseason games, albeit those guys don't play very much. But until you get into regular season games and stress guys and put guys in position, you may not necessarily know where you can hang your hat and who you can call on in certain situations and who responds to certain situations. So I think that that's been a learning process for him as well. As much as I didn't like some of the play calls on Monday night, he did a really good job of staying with the run game and understanding the big picture of the game and setting stuff up for the second half. I thought that it was a really hard game as a play caller to call, because you were getting some zero yardage runs and some negative yardage runs on first down. But he did a really good job on second down to get them back to third and medium, you know, that third and 6-7 range, so they could convert. They went 9 of 14 on third down, mainly because Sark did a really good job of play calling on that middle down to keep them in those manageable situations. So I think he deserves a lot of credit for that.
Arch, maybe the most important thing coming home from Seattle, how the heck did you get a row to yourself? You were laid out like you were at the Best Western or something.
Dude, this is my 14th season.
I know that's right, Arch.
Come on, man. Talk to him, Randy.
I know that's right.
This is my first time around the block.
All I know is Squidbilly was curled up. Luckily, Squidbilly can fit in between the two seats by himself. He was curled up in front of me. I kept trying to pull his pillow out from under him. He wasn't real happy on the flight back.
Well, he came down and asked me the same thing about having the full row of whatever it was, 4 or 5 seats. I said, you don't need a full row. You can lay out in 2 seats. That's how big you are. And sure enough, I went back to the rest of him. He's laid out in 2 seats. He didn't need a full row. Come on.
Yeah, it was awesome. It was a good flight home. So it's always so much more fun when we come back with a win. Real quick, Arch, you've done a lot of ACC games, obviously, this year. You've seen Georgia Tech up close and personal. What do they have to do to beat Georgia this week?
Wow. They're going to have to swell up against the run, obviously. They're going to have to find a way to get the run stopped, and that's easier said than done if they just got steamrolled by Duke. That's a good team that can run. Duke's actually an undersung team that can run the ball. They got two good backs up there. But, yeah, they're going to have to swell up against the run, try to take care of business there. But you've got to possess the football, and they've got to be that team that incrementally moves the ball down the field. Eat clock. You don't want to give Georgia more opportunities than they already get, and find a way to string drives together. They'll have to make a play or two in the passing game, and I think it's going to be on the offensive line. Can the offensive line block Georgia? I'm sure they saw some tape that they liked against Auburn that they'll try to take advantage of, even though they run a different style, a different run scheme. They'll take advantage of some of that. So it'll be interesting. Hey, by the way, I'm going to listen to the show the rest of the way and see if Paul finds another guy from Bloggers R Us to come on with you.
Oh, Arch, we love it, man. Hey, have a great Thanksgiving. Tell the family we said hello, man. I know you'll have a good time up there at Stately Archer Manor.
All right.
Happy Thanksgiving to all you guys and all the fans out there.
Bloggers are us. Wow. We'll take a break. We'll come back. NFL bounce. We've got news on a former Falcon who now is a free agent once again. We'll tell you who next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. If that domain's not taken, we might need to put that up. Bloggers are us. Yeah. Gotta love Arch.
Yeah,
I can tell you, I've worked with Arch a long time. He's not always the biggest fan of bloggers or writers.
But he really hits you with the vet move, though. 14 years.
Dude, he was like, I mean, we traveled back on one of the biggest planes I've ever been on in my life, and literally the seating was 2-4-2, so I had two seats to myself, which is plenty. I can lay sideways. I had the feet out in the aisle. You know, I slept as much as I could. Squidbilly actually just laid straight and was across the two seats and still had room to spare on either end.
How bad do you want that domain?
How much does it cost?
$2,600.
I don't want it that bad.
GoDaddy.com, get it for cheaper than that.
Bloggers are us.
That's pretty good.
That's funny as can be. Hey, you know what'll be good is hanging out with us this Friday. It's the midday show. That'll be me and Randy Mack this week. Live from McCray's Tavern in Smyrna. We'll be there from 10 to 2. Join us for lunch and enjoy a cold beer and delicious food, including mouthwatering burgers and wings. The live broadcast at McCray's Tavern, presented by Bud Light, famous among friends. Are you guys sure you're really ready to hang with me during a distracted college football game?
What do you mean, are we sure? We got to work.
I meant afterwards.
Oh, I was going to say, yeah. I mean, because look, the game comes on. You said it's a noon kick.
By two, it'll be third quarter.
So I'm pretty sure that the game should be out of reach, right?
I hope so. Yeah. But judging by the way Miami's played all year, Pitt's not a big enough team to put it out of reach early like Notre Dame or Virginia Tech. Okay. This will be more along the lines of some of the other games. It'll be close for a while. Yeah, I think they'll pull away.
I'll be excited.
It's supposed to be 50 degrees at Pitt, so they don't get the weather help that they were going to get. You see this, NFL news? Dwight Freeney released by the Seattle Seahawks. Three sacks in the first two games.
Right.
He played, I want to say, a couple of plays against the Falcons.
I think maybe three. Was he at the three or four?
I know one of the ones we went immediate play action, right, and he sucked down inside immediately and chased the run game, and Matt got outside and was able to hit a throw because he didn't keep backside contained. I'm a little bit surprised they cut him loose because he looked like he had a little bit left in the tank there.
Yeah, it surprised me also. And my thing is, are they trying to get another person in and fill that roster spot? Mm-hmm. Dwight still has some left in the tank. Maybe somebody gives him a call.
Does New England call him?
That was going to be my next guess because they need a pass rusher. And Bill, he's right up Bill's alley. Bill will put him out there on third down, go get the quarterback. So possibly.
And we'll see what happens with Dwight Freeney. Always was a good guy here. You know, I'm a little bit surprised that Seattle let him loose. But they're having so many problems with running back, and it might be J.D. McKissick because Mike Davis was hurt. Yeah. They're trying to figure out who's going to be the runner. And McKissick looked good catching the ball out of the backfield. I know Rick was really upset a year ago when McKissick was cut.
Right.
I understood the reasoning behind it. We weren't going to play him at running back. We were going to have him at receiver. McKissick looks like a playmaker.
He looks like he's a guy, and I think John Gruden said like an Eric Metcalf type guy to run. You could throw the ball to him, return guy. Good for him, though, because I really did like him here. I really did, but it just wasn't enough room for him.
He could have been a guy that could have been on kick coverage and kick return and everything else. Hey, you see what's going on with Kelvin Benjamin? Traded to the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah.
And now day-to-day, which is actually good. When you saw him get banged up with the knee injury, you got nervous. But it looks like day-to-day for Kelvin Benjamin, he could be a guy that comes back sooner rather than later.
Yeah, he needs to go ahead and pick it up, man. I think this is contract year.
Is this his third year in the league or his fourth year?
No, this is fourth year, yeah. So, yeah, this is contract year because his fifth option wasn't picked up. It was picked up, so he has this year and next year. I'm sorry. But, yeah, he's a guy. I still don't understand the move by Buffalo to go pick him up. But he's a guy, when I saw him go down, the first thing I thought was, like, not again. That's all I can think of, not again.
South Florida's favorite backup quarterback getting first-team reps in practice, Matt Moore. It's because Jay Cutler's still in the concussion protocol. Some would say his season's been concussed, but he's getting $10 million either way. You rolled your eyes when I said Matt Moore. You're not a Matt Moore guy?
I like Matt Moore. Matt Moore just does not know how to take care of himself. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's a guy that comes in, and he's great in relief. You know what I'm saying? Like, he comes in third quarter, he'll lead you and do all these things. He starts the game. I mean, it's not good. No. I mean, remember, he had his opportunity, John.
Who is their third quarterback? Do they even have a third quarterback?
They probably do. I don't know, but
I was going to say, maybe you let the third QB start, and then you throw Matt Moore coming in relief.
Because when he comes in like that, he's good. You remember the playoff game? He is his big-time shot. What happens? He almost gets killed because he don't know how to take care of himself. Slide.
Who got hit harder, him or Pat White? Remember when
Pat White got destroyed. Mm-hmm. That hit by – I mean, I would have pressed charge against Bud Dupree if he would hit me like that because he just straight murdered the quarterback.
I don't know how he got back in the game.
How did he not see him?
How did he not get back in the game? I know there's a protocol. That dude was, like, out cold on his feet. Three plays later, he's out there throwing the ball to everybody that wasn't in aqua and orange. Either way. Hey, you see, speaking of concussion protocol, Jake Elliott remaining in the concussion protocol. But Doug Peterson said everything's looking good with him. It looks like he will play against the Bears. I don't know. With the way the Eagles were completing two-point conversions, do you need a kicker anymore?
Yeah, you need one. But the thing about it is, it's funny when kickers get concussions. Like, get out the way. Get in the way so you can slow him down, but then get out the way.
Bosher came up and tried to lay lumber, but he just didn't wrap up.
Look, if Bosher hadn't gotten in the way a couple of times, they would have returned that.
Get in the way. Get in the way. Don't get hurt, because the one thing you don't really have a lot anymore is a kicker,
right.
You know, a backup punter or a kicker. So I would prefer to keep my kicker safe. So if it's coming your way, just make a scary face at him and wave your arms, and hopefully he stops, and then everybody.
What's a scary face?
Well, I mean, nobody can see it, so what does it matter?
Hold on, I'll get the camera.
Man, get away from me with that camera.
I can't get a picture but of no, Randy's scary face.
No, but I'm serious. Kickers, get out the way. All right, just move, please.
See, I like the fact that Bosch has swag. Bosch is going to come up and try to hit you.
Bosch is going to get himself blasted one time, okay? Because there's nothing worse, and you look at it on tape. We see it all the time when we're in teams meeting, and we're watching it, and we're like, look at the kicker. Because if the kicker blasts you, he jumps up and celebrates. Like, dude, you made one football play in your entire life. So you know what happens next time? They send somebody after the kicker. Mm-hmm. Always happens.
Now, Matt Bryant, I don't think he's tackling, but Bosch will go make a tackle.
Yeah, that's why Bosch is the kickoff guy. Could you imagine Matt?
Matt Bryant ain't moving. He's kicking and standing.
Matt Bryant trying to run down somebody.
I don't blame him.
Hey, he done paid his dude. He don't got to do it no more.
Oh, no. He's making that, making that cheese, sitting out there banging field goals left and right. Hey, a couple other things around the league as we do our NFL Bounce, brought to you by Cobb County Kia. Stop by and test drive their new 2017 Sorento today. The Broncos' reel of quarterback roulette has now landed on Paxton Lynch, last year's first-round pick, because Brock Osweiler, well, we knew this, he sucks. Trevor Siemian, he's pretty awful as well. What do you expect out of Paxton Lynch? Especially, they fired Mike McCoy. Bill Musgrave going to take over as the offensive coordinator. Mm-hmm. It's all upheaval right now for them.
If you look at Musgrave and you look at McCoy, mm-hmm. For them not to be able to get something out of quarterback position, it's the quarterback.
Right.
All right. I like Mike McCoy. I think he's an outstanding offensive coordinator. He just got brocked. He got brocked. That's what he got.
And Trevored.
And he got brocked just like George got brocked down in Houston. Mm-hmm. He's not good. All right. And you know a guy who needs to take a look in the mirror? John Elway.
Yeah.
Because of the quarterback situation that he has. I don't even think Paxton Lynch is that good. I didn't think he was that good coming out. All right. It's gonna be a disaster.
Here's the thing, though. At least with Paxton Lynch, they used draft equity with him. They spent a first rounder on him. You got to give the kid a chance. He's never really had a chance because of injuries and others.
And he's been hurt all season. Yep. So what are you expecting to give you? I don't see it. I think Trevor Siemian is going to end up starting the rest of this season because you know what you got in Brock. He stinks. All right, he's just terrible. I don't know what Paxton Lynch is. I wasn't impressed by the little bit I got to see him play. So you're going to have to put Trevor in. And they're just going to – it's going to be a down year for him. And it's bad, John, mm-hmm. for those guys that are getting older, like Aqib and Vaughn. And I mean, they're still young players, but you're wasting a year.
Oh, absolutely.
You're wasting a year.
And then you got to assume next year you're going to have to spend a first-round pick on a quarterback, which is going to be a learning process unless you get Deshaun Watson.
Or do you go out and sign one of these veterans that's possibly going to be out there?
Yeah, but what veteran's there that's really going to change things for you?
That's the thing about it.
Do you make a run at Ryan Tannehill, say?
Yeah. He's better than what you got. But I don't think Gase is going to let Ryan Tannehill go, but he's better than what you got. I mean, you know, there's Drew Brees. I don't think Drew Brees is going there. But then do you go after Kirk Cousins? You've got to find a quarterback in Denver.
They do.
Point blank period.
I think they're going to end up drafting one, or maybe Paxton Lynch ends up being the guy that you wanted. Raiders making a move. Defensive coordinator Ken Norton Jr. gone. Boy, the Raiders were everybody's darling coming into this year, and they have been not very good.
Yeah, man.
You're talking about a
defense that's given up 73% completion against, does not have an interception this year.
They don't have a pick?
They don't have a pick this year.
You know, I realize we only have three interceptions all year.
They don't have a pick this year. Coach Pags is going to be the coordinator. I knew him from San Diego. He's a defensive coordinator. John Pag.
Pagnolo?
Pagnoli.
Okay.
Yeah, his brother. Mm-hmm. He's going to be the defensive coordinator. He's a blitz guy. He's going to try and light you up and force you into making some turnovers because they just weren't getting it done.
And one that we talked about that was no-brainer, Tyrod Taylor back to be the quarterback of the Buffalo Bills. What'd you say earlier?
Duh.
Here's something else that we haven't had a chance to talk about. The semifinalists have been listed for this year's NFL mm-hmm. Hall of Fame. Really good names in there.
Two definites. Ray.
Mm-hmm.
I think Randy.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think Ray and Randy are definite.
And does Terrell Owens have to be a definite?
I hope he gets in this time.
Here's the names are here. And what do they normally take? Six? So you got Atwater, Rondi Barber,
no.
Tony Boselli,
no.
Isaac Bruce.
I'd still going to wait for him. Him and Torrey a little down the road.
Leroy Butler.
Down the road.
Don Coryell.
That's a good one because he was one of the innovators of this. Like that offense, and they still run to this day.
Roger Craig, Brian Dawkins, Alan Faneca.
Yes.
Faneca was really good.
I think Faneca can answer.
Torrey Holt.
I think Torrey got the weight.
Steve Hutchinson.
Steve's probably have to wait.
Joe Jacoby.
No, I don't think Faneca and Hutchinson go in.
Joe Jacoby.
I think he's going to have to wait, even though he was a bad man with the Redskins.
This guy should be in. Edgerrin James.
I think Edge's going to have to wait, though.
Jimmy Johnson.
I'm surprised Jimmy isn't in yet.
Me too.
I really am. Maybe they were trying to put Jerry in before they put in Jimmy.
Ty Law. Boy, he's got to get in.
He's going to have to wait.
Ray Lewis, you mentioned.
Oh, yeah, he's all the way in.
John Lynch.
Wait.
Kevin Mawai. Carl Mecklenburg. They're both going to wait. Randy Moss, as we talked about. Leslie O'Neal of the Chargers.
Wait.
Terrell Owens.
I think T.O. gets in this year.
Simeon Rice.
Wait.
Richard Seymour.
Oh, my man's getting in. And now, yes, that's a homer. But I don't think people realize how dominant Seymour was.
Brian Urlacher.
I think they might let Lack in.
But I don't think he gets in this year. Yeah. I don't think he might be away. Everson Walls.
No.
And Hines Ward, local kid.
I think Hines is going to have to wait, too.
Yeah, this is going to be a really good class. You could make case for probably 18 to 20 of these 27
to get
Coryell, in right
now. I think Coryell gets in, though. I think with his innovation in offense, I think he gets in.
Paul Bible's an innovator, and he's a Hall of Famer in our book, and he comes up with From the Bible next. Yeah, he's giving me the go-to-break sign. So we'll do that, and you'll hear from Paul next in research material on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Oh, it's now time for From the Bible on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It's always fun to get in Twitter, like, beef. Not even beef, just messing with people that beef. You know, that you used to work with.
I'm still thinking about my man Rick and his Twitter beef that he was just
with Tim Brando?
He was so excited about it.
Do you like how I tagged in?
I'm like, what are you doing, John?
I'm jumping in off the top row. I'm just mad I wasn't here the day that Tim Brando came on.
He was so excited, like, the whole show. Every segment. Didn't he mention the beef with Tim Brando every single segment?
You know, it's like the hot cheerleader that sits down next to you at assembly.
Uh-huh.
Dude, the hot cheerleader sat next to me. She was next to me. Hey, guys, it's hot cheerleader. You're next to me. We rubbed elbows. I smelled her hair when she wasn't looking.
She borrowed my pen.
I told her to keep it.
Rick was excited about that. And when he came on, I was like, hey, have it. You have at it.
Now, you know me. I'm firing off all cylinders. I'm just mad Tim Brando didn't answer me because he knew I was right. He knew what I said was right. He went back at Rick. I guess Rick holds a higher industry standard than I hope.
Is that what it is?
It is. I tried to go off on a Doug Gottlieb yesterday. That idiot said, how do you prop up Miami when Notre Dame just lost to Navy? What the hell are you watching? Because Notre Dame beat Navy. Again, this is why some of these national guys, you listen to that crap if you want to, because most of them don't know what the hell they're talking about. Colin Cowherd. Preacher Man knows what he's talking about.
That's right. We also want to say that this
This edition of From the Bible is sponsored by Dunn Waterproofing and Restoration. Get it done with Dunn. Call 770, the number 4, Floods. Dunn Waterproofing.
There you All right.
Yes, sir.
Preacher man.
Sponsor.
Woo.
Get it.
All right.
All right, what do we got?
All right, what do we got? Well, apparently Ray Lewis is being sued for a botched bourbon deal with a famous racehorse. The bourbon company bearing Ray's name is accused of putting the stiff in stiff drink, allegedly bailing on a $50,000 sponsorship involving a famous racehorse in California. Long story short of it, Ray has nothing to do with this. Ray lent his name to the brand.
Oh, okay.
Ray is not even involved. So I'm just putting it out there.
Oh, okay.
But allegedly, the liquor company bourbon with his name on it made a deal with a racehorse in California. They were going to pay him $25,000 in cash and $25,000 in a Ray's Reserve bourbon, and they failed to finish the deal.
Look, if they want to recoup some advertising for $10,000, they can be part of the midday show with Rick, John, Mark, Paul, and Randy. You could just be drop $10,000 on us.
But my thing is,
and drop off some free liquor.
25 in liquor?
Yeah, 25 in cash, 25 in liquor.
I don't need that much liquor.
Equated to 100 bottles at $250 apiece.
It's only 100.
100 bottles at $250 apiece.
Okay.
Dude, we went through we went through about 60 bottles at my wedding, mostly Craig.
Yeah.
Craig showed up and drank all the tequila.
Craig, one thing we know about Craig, if it's a house party, I don't care who it is, Craig's going to be there.
Uh-huh.
All right, Craig's going to be there. Craig's going to drink. Craig's going to dance all night.
Oh, yeah. His new nickname is Senior Tango. All my friends were like, dude, is Senior Tango showing up? He walked into Havana. We're in the Latin room. He doesn't say hi to anybody.
He starts dancing.
No, he walks by, grabs my wife, and just starts doing. Yeah. I don't even know what they were doing.
Dude, I was at a funeral, and he walks up to the widow and starts trying to tango with her. I'm like, Craig.
Now, I was making Craig shoot his shot. Every girl that was there that was single, I was like, my brother's single. Come here. Come dance with him.
Shoot the J.
How did that work out? Did anything work?
Yeah, that worked out pretty good. Good call.
Yes.
Let's just say the Mark Anthony concert on Sunday night ended really well.
So. Nice. All right. So John Michaels with the assist, and I'm not known to be a passer, but I had to hook up my boy CCV. Preacher man, what else we got?
All right, we dropped this story yesterday during the show in regards to Ray Allen, the catfishing incident. Well, apparently there's more coming out today.
No.
Ray Allen accuser, we had gay relationship. Of course, Ray denies this, calling it BS. The man obtained a restraining order against Ray, says he was not catfishing the NBA star. The two were in a romantic relationship. Ray's attorney telling TMZ the man is lying. As previously reported, Allen is in a legal war with a gentleman by the name of Bryant Coleman, a staffer in the communications department at the University of Central Florida. Coleman says Allen's allegations that he pretended to be a woman to obtain private information about Ray are false. So there you go. Take what you know.
It goes on to say, Ray knows how I look. He knows how my voice sounds. He knows how I think. And most importantly, he knows my heart.
Get out of here, man.
I like a Hallmark card.
I mean, didn't it? Like, damn. I said the other day, damn, Ray.
Randy, I wonder if they make a floor mat that says that.
Probably not. But, Ray, damn, Ray. His wife's so fine, too.
Really?
Yeah, man. She all right.
And I know people get mad when they go, you guys have research material and you try to give us moral comfort. Don't slide in people's DM anymore.
I try to tell people the DM slide is rules to it.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't know this person,
right,
don't be sending your stuff. Don't do it. Don't send nothing nasty to them if you don't know them.
Right. If you haven't actually physically met. Actually, you don't send nasty pictures through DM anyway.
Women don't like it.
No.
Here's the problem, though. My wife has met Randy, so he sends her stuff, and she has to be like, but I know Randy McMichael. It's okay.
You know what I mean, Mark.
Randy, stop sending my wife pictures.
I'm just going to tell you this. When I was a DM slider, okay? And that was a long time ago. A DM.
Spinning at the club.
A DM slider. First of all, I would kind of get to know the person publicly. So you LOL at some of their dumb tweets and all that, and hopefully they would like your tweet.
Send the smile emoji.
Yes, and then you slide into the DMs and, hey, how are you? And if she replies back, then that's how it goes. Dudes nowadays just don't be caring.
Oh, they don't care.
They just don't care no more. Just
She got a thong on. I know she wants me.
I mean, yeah.
Fly it on in there with a junk
picture. I hope CCV's taking notes back here.
Yeah. And, bruh.
Now, was that your AOL screen name, DM Slider?
No, we had some good ones back in the day, boy. I tell you, Black Planet.
Yeah,
I know about that one. All right, preacher man, in case the wife's listening, let's keep going.
Oh, so you want me to bail you out? Is that
yep.
All right, well, believe it or not.
Actually, bail Randy out.
Believe it or not, Stephen A. Smith accuses someone else of being too dramatic.
Oh, no. Come on.
What?
Yeah, because you remember how Baker Mayfield won't start against West Virginia. He right. won't be a captain. Well, he got emotional during his press conference. Well, Stephen A. went on ESPN today and ridiculed Riley and Mayfield for showing emotion on First Take. Smith also had the audacity and lack of self-awareness to accuse someone of being overly dramatic.
I got to tell you, the emotion of the ocean that Baker Mayfield is causing so much commotion. He tried to plant his flag because he is, I don't know where I'm going, but I'm going to educate and pontificate and just really yell loud. Who cares? Why, who is he telling anybody's emotion? He gives us all these large dictionary words and screams and yells. And
Steve was so cool before First Take. He was a cool. He really was a cool cat. Now he's just outrageous, man. He is. I mean, I agree with something he said, but now one thing. Don't talk about football, please. He just go over there somewhere. But no, man. But no. It was funny though. Why are you crying, Baker? You know what you did,
right?
You know what you did. You know what you did. I'm just surprised that he. I'm surprised he didn't get in more trouble. I'm surprised you let him play.
Did I throw you off with that?
Yeah, yeah, just a little bit. I was like,
I mean, it's what he did.
Did you spit? Okay, but you didn't say it, did he?
Yeah, I did.
Oh, he did say it. Okay.
He said grab your crotch.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that.
Okay. Ain't nothing wrong with that.
No, you thought I said something else?
Yeah,
no.
I was like, did he just?
No, come on, Randy. I've been in this business a long enough time to know what buzzwords are not allowed.
Because I would have said that, though. That would have been me.
We just saw Randy short out a little bit.
Yeah, he.
Does anybody got an iPhone charger?
Yeah,
you plug it into Randy for about 10 minutes.
All right, Preach, what you got, baby? Because I'm lost.
All right, time is running out, so we'll head on over to the research material.
Let's do it.
Once again, we always want to thank our boy, Chef, who hits us up on Rick and John.
Chef
99.
Is a stalker, okay?
Hey, Chef right. is our participation Chef, guy.
She's a participant.
Chef wakes up like, let me scroll the Instagram models.
Hey, I ain't mad at Chef. Okay, so Chef's contribution today is Miss Ashley Denise, and that's Denise with two E's on the end.
Of course it is.
I'm just saying.
All right.
Our other entrant today is Danielle Vaughn. You spell Vaughn. It's V-A-U-G-H-A-N.
V-A-what?
V-A-U-G-H-A-N.
Okay, Okay.
All right, we'll take a look at those. We'll come back. Scott Smith, senior writer and editor from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. No, not for bloggers or us. Coming up next to talk Bucs on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We're back here in the Kia studio, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. And don't forget, Falcon fans, there's going to be a salute to the past and Falcons alumni to bring out the retro black uniform Sunday when they host Tampa Bay. Wear black this week on hashtag Falcons Friday. If you're on Black Friday shopping, put on your Falcons gear. New for Black Friday and throwback black uniform game will be limited quantities of the Falcons retro collection available now only at the team store in Atlantic Station and at Mercedes-Benz Stadium starting on Friday. All headwear and scarves are buy one, get one 50% off at the team store. The sold-out game will have limited standing room only tickets available on Friday. Standing room tickets can be purchased in person at the Mercedes-Benz Gate 2 box office beginning at 9 a.m. Obviously a big game against Tampa Bay this week because for all the good equity you've built up against Dallas and against Seattle, it all goes out the window if you lose a game to Tampa Bay.
Yeah, man, and Tampa's, like Archie was saying, Tampa's been playing better.
Mm-hmm.
We know their talent. They've been beat up a lot this year. They didn't have Doug Martin to start the season. Now they're without their starting quarterback. But a backup quarterback like a Ryan Fitzpatrick that can sling the ball around, they're dangerous, John. They really are a dangerous football team. And right now they're still in it. And when you have the ability to still be into a playoff race or whatever, mm-hmm. you're going to play better, and they are playing a lot better now.
Yeah, it is, and the NFC is sort of wide open. We talked about this earlier on. If Tampa can come up with a win, suddenly they're a game back of the Falcons.
Yeah.
Suddenly they're right in the wild card race, and they're in the mix. And, you know, you get Jameis Winston back potentially in a couple of weeks and maybe even sooner than that with the shoulder injury, and you kind of go from there. So we'll head out now on the WadeFord.com hotline. We've had him on the program before, and we appreciate him stopping back by. Scott Smith, senior writer and editor for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, joins us now. Scott, good afternoon. How you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
Doing great. All right, we're going to start with a non-football question. What's the best side dish that you have for Thanksgiving?
Well, this is going to be an unpopular decision or choice probably because I don't think it's a real widespread one. But I really like my wife's broccoli rice and cheese casserole.
Yes, sir, because my wife makes one too.
Oh, it's awesome.
Really? Broccoli rice?
Never had that before?
No, I've never had that.
That's so good.
Oh, fantastic. Oh, that's good stuff right
there. Oh, that's good stuff right
there. Going back old school, I'd have to say my grandma used to make homemade noodles. I don't think that's necessarily a traditional Thanksgiving thing either, but that was everybody's favorite.
One other thing we were talking about today on the Thanksgiving tip. Who's the worst type of guest that shows up at your house for Thanksgiving?
Well, I would say it's the people that don't want the TV to be on football. You know, in our house, generally, everybody's either congregated in the kitchen or in the living room where the TV is, and I want to watch football after we eat, you know? And sometimes it feels like it's just a little too much football, and I just don't agree with that.
Yeah, those people, you know what they're called? Uninvited guests. We just send them home at that point. All right, let's dive into what's going on. Huge game, obviously, Sunday with the Buccaneers and the Falcons, a divisional matchup. I like the way the NFL has set up everything with these late division games, making the end of the season mean something. What's Tampa done the last 2 weeks to kind of get that winning feeling back?
Well, you know, the defense has forced turnovers, which was what turned this defense around last year. You know, we had really a horrendous first half on defense, which ended with the big loss to Atlanta on Thursday night. And after that, they started getting turnovers in droves and were really good in the second half of the season, made a playoff push and just missed it. And that's kind of happening again. In the Jets game, we actually had 6 sacks, which is the thing that's been missing all year. We had 8 sacks in the first 8 games. And then we had 6 against the Jets. But that didn't hold over against Miami, so I don't think we've really turned the corner on that yet.
Scott, the quarterback position. We know Fitz, he's a world traveler as far as NFL teams, and he's a gunslinger, just like Jameis is. But for some reason, these last 2 weeks, they have found a way to win football games. I know Jameis is the future. He's the face of the franchise. But if Fitzy continues to play better, I mean, the team continues to play better with Fitzy, is it so that Jameis – shoulder might need another week and another week and another week?
Well, that coach continues to stress that is completely a medical question. So his shoulder was tested on Monday. They decided he needed at least one more week, so they'll decide again next week. But he also said in response to the question, can a guy lose his job due to injury? He says that's very rarely going to happen. So I think the feeling around here is that when Jameis is medically ready to play, he'll step back in. But we certainly are enjoying the results we're getting from Fitz.
One of the things that we've been watching is Dirk Cutter and his progression as a head coach. I think at 2-6, you guys might have been looking for a new coach. Is Dirk Cutter safe after this year?
Well, I would hope so. You know, and again, there's 6 more games to play. So how the team finishes could have something to say on that. But I would hope so. I mean, I think a little stability would help. You know, we had that 5-game losing streak when this was a team that had really high expectations coming into the season, so now we're really behind the 8-ball, and obviously there's a good chance it won't end up in the playoffs. But, you know, a 9-7 season last year, a strong finish this year, I really don't know why that would lead a team to start looking for something new.
Scott, you just like you just said, I mean, coming into the year, a lot of people thought that Tampa was going to be that team that made that push for a playoff or even the NFC South crown. What has been the biggest thing outside of the injuries? Has there been something else that you can put your finger on why this team has struggled?
This team has had problems at the line of scrimmage. We have not had a good pass rush at all. Gerald McCoy is still a fabulous player, but when the other team decides to put a lot of attention on him and find a way to stop him, the other guys need to take advantage of their one-on-ones, and that's just not happening enough. And, you know, in this league, as you obviously know, if you give any quarterback that's good enough to be in the NFL a lot of time back there, he's going to pick you apart. And guys like Case Keenum and Matt Moore have done that to us this year. And then on the offensive side, the pass blocking has actually been pretty good, but we just can't seem to get the run blocking figured out. And, you know, Doug Martin, a lot of times he's working as hard as he can to get 2 or 4 yards, and he's just not getting enough help up front.
We've got Scott Smith, senior writer and editor for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. You can follow him on Twitter, at Scott S. Bucks, online. He's with us on the WadeFord.com hotline. Scott, when I look at Tampa, and we try to watch as many of the games as we can, you know, obviously our games are on a lot of times at the same time. The stat that boggles my mind is that this defense is 31st in the NFL against the pass, giving up almost 277 yards a game. They've got players at corner. They've got players on the front 7. What's been the inefficiency in pass defense?
There's been a number of issues. I think you start with what I was just talking about. There's just not enough pass rush. We've also had a rotating weeks of – our corners have pretty much been different every week. If you talk about the 3 main starters, your 2 guys on the outside and the slot guy, because of injuries to, at various times, Brent Grimes, Robert McClain, Vernon Hargraves. It's been a different cast almost every week, and I got to imagine that's not helping. And then, in this, as an example, in this game against Miami, we gave up 186 yards on 9 third down plays in the second half, which is mind-boggling. And the problem in that one was both pass rush non-existent up front, and then guys, according to Coach Cutter, messing up on their zone drops. So you're having problems. You know, you need your pass rush and your coverage to go hand in hand, and when both sides are breaking down, that's going to lead to what happened.
It's got a position that I love, love to play, played for a long time, the tight end position. Now, we knew Brake came last year. He had a really good season. You draft O.J. Howard in the first round this year. Started off kind of slow, but lately this kid seems like he's trying to figure it out.
I think the thing about O.J. Howard is from day he started every game. Mm-hmm. He's played more snaps than anybody, than any of our tight ends by a wide margin, because he's got such a good all-around game. So he's in there blocking really, really well on running plays and pass protection. And so you want to have him on the field all the time. And when you have your two tight end sets, that's when you bring in Cam Brate. But O.J. Howard's opportunities have just come because he's been on the field so much. And now as we start to face a team like last week, Miami's linebackers, we considered a little bit, maybe a little bit long in the tooth, maybe a little bit slow. And so O.J. Howard was a great matchup for them because he's such an athletic guy. You know, Cam Brate has really been a productive tight end. A lot of that has to do with his he's just really good at contorting his body and making contested catches, but he's not quite the same athlete that O.J. Howard is. So sometimes when you get the right matchup, like we had here, we had in Buffalo, the ball tends to find O.J. a little bit more.
Scott, what's a matchup that you'll be watching for from the Tampa side that they think they can exploit against the Falcons?
I wonder if – now, you guys would know better than I do if they take Desmond Trufant and shadow the other team's best receiver.
No, he doesn't. They typically don't shadow.
Not. Okay. Because I thought maybe if Trufant was on Evans, DeSean Jackson might have a shot to maybe get some big plays on Alford. If I'm not mistaken, Alford's had a number of penalties this year on deep balls. Is that accurate?
That is correct.
Maybe, you know, you got a guy like DeSean who we have really not had as much success as we would have hoped in hitting him with the deep ball, but he has been able to draw some penalties downfield, and maybe that could happen.
Now, is that Deshaun's fault, or is it more or less the quarterbacks not being able to get him the ball?
It's the quarterbacks. Coach, in fact, Coach said before the Jets game, before the Miami game, that Deshaun's last three games were by far his best of the season. They absolutely love what he's doing. He's running the routes the way he's supposed to. His attitude's been fantastic. He's been getting open. He's gotten open deep several times. We just haven't done a good job of hitting him.
When I look at the offseason that Tampa's had, when you go get a guy like Deshaun, a guy like Baker, you sign T.J. Ward, have these guys been everything that they thought they were when they signed them?
Well, Deshaun has definitely been everything that we thought. It's just, like I just said, we just haven't done a good job of exploiting the opportunities he's given us. Chris Baker, you know, he's a guy that's not necessarily going to show up huge in the stat sheet, but he does a good job occupying the middle, you know, teaming with Gerald McCoy. I think they've been happy with him. And I can't remember, who's the third player?
T.J. Ward.
T.J. Ward. You know, the thing with T.J. Ward is he came into a situation where the Bucs had – he was like the fourth guy that they considered starting caliber, and so we're actually rotating all the safeties a lot earlier in the season. Now, as the season has progressed, Justin Evans, the rookie, has started playing every snap, and T.J. Ward has been sharing snaps with Chris Conte, and I think he's been getting more playing time recently. So I think he's getting more comfortable in the system probably.
Scott, I've always talked about two of the most underrated linebackers in the league, Quan Alexander and Lavonte David. How important has it been now to get these guys back healthy to get the defense playing closer to where they were a year ago?
Well, I'm glad you brought those guys up because I feel like we've been talking about some of the negatives, and I think the Buccaneers have the best linebacking core in the NFL.
Wow.
And you start with Lavonte David, who is having maybe his best season. And last year he was hampered by injuries but really didn't say anything, had some tragedy in his personal life, and he just was not the same all year. This year he's back to being the Lavonte David that should be in the Pro Bowl every year. And you know, he was hurt for a couple games. Quan Alexander was hurt for a couple games, but he's back now. He had a pick last week. So he's kind of your big play guy, gets lots of picks and sacks, that kind of thing. And then we got drafted this rookie, Kendall Beckwith, out of LSU. And he had a knee injury, an ACL, last November. And it was really an open question. Like, we weren't necessarily even sure he was going to contribute this year. But he started training camp day one, has never looked back. He's our starting Sam linebacker now. He started for Kendall in the middle, for Quan in the middle when Quan was hurt. And in addition to playing Sam, he's also rushing in our third down sub packages now. So we often bring in three defensive linemen and have Kendall standing up on the end, and he had a sack in the Jets game. So you get all they're trying very hard to get all three of those guys on the field as much as possible, and that's by far the strength of the defense.
Yeah, those are three guys that I absolutely will be paying attention to from the Falcons side of things. All right, Scott, how do you think this game plays out on Sunday afternoon?
Well, here's what they're saying around here. If the Buccaneers can, once again, as they've done the last two games, avoid the turnover, they think they can beat anybody. I think, you know, beating the Falcons right now, because they look fantastic to me, is a tall task, but it has to start with protecting the football. Fortunately, you have a veteran quarterback who knows that. He made a number of very important throwaways in the Miami game, and that one came down to a wire, so every play was important. So I think it's going to have to be, you're going to have to avoid the turnovers and maybe get more of a rushing attack so that we can get more plays and get the ball distributed to our guys, because we have a lot of great offensive weapons. So I don't know if I'd make a prediction necessarily, but if the Buccaneers can play a mistake-free game, I think they got a real shot.
Scott, great stuff. Have a great Thanksgiving, man. We'll see you up here on Sunday.
Thanks, Scott.
All right, Steve. Thank you.
Thanks a lot. Scott Smith covers the Tampa Bay Buccaneers here on Sports Radio 92.9. The game, much more energy. We like that. Yeah. We got them loosened up with the Thanksgiving questions.
He does have a point with those linebackers.
Oh, those dudes can play. I mean, when Quan Alexander 2 years ago tracked down Julio and stripped the ball, you go, oh, man.
Yeah, they can play. And Levante, I've been the biggest fan of his forever.
Like, How the heck did he get out of the state of Florida?
Nebraska.
Remember, he was on that Miami Northwestern 2007 national champion high school team. Eight of his teammates, Randy Shannon, recruited. You know who they didn't recruit? Levante David. How did Levante David get out of Miami, Florida, or Florida State and end up at Nebraska? Kid can flat out play. He is one of the best players in the league.
Yes, he is. I mean, I love the guy, man. I really do. I remember he one of the rare guys to put me on my rear end.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Did he?
Oh, yeah, he got me. Yeah, he got me. It's my fault. I went the hole too high on a lead play that was audible.
Right.
And he just, bow, he's right in my chest. And then after the game, I go to him, go give him a hug and everything. I was like, proud of you. And he's like, man, I just remember playing with you when I was in high school. And that just made me feel so old. And that also was my last year playing.
I did that to Tony Schiavone. I was like, Tony, my college years, 20-some-odd years ago, I used to watch you every week. He goes, thanks. Now I feel like a grandpa. We love Tony Schiavone, by the way. Shout out to the great Tony Schiavone.
The great Tony Schiavone.
He is absolutely. He gets the great moniker and deserves it.
Yes, he does.
100% of the time. If you cook great macaroni and cheese and you want to drop off some to my house, actually, there'll be great macaroni and cheese at my house anyway. We got them folks.
Them
folks going to be in there cooking that macaroni and cheese. Hey, let's talk about what happened with Jalen Collins and dissect the matchup with Falcons and Buccaneers, plus a little more Thanksgiving talk, because I think all of us are getting hungry here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com.
The best interest of the team for us to move on from Jalen, and we stated way back in August that Thomas and I would take some time to make the best decision for the team. Back then, we had said there was no doubt that some trust was broken. And so we decided that moving on, you know, from Jalen this time was best for us as a team.
That's Dan Quinn on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Yeah, I got to turn the microphone off when I get ready to cough.
Such a professional.
Everybody looks at me like, what?
Huh?
I thought it was off, because normally I leave it off until the cut is over, and then I hit on and then actually start talking. Either way, it is a Wednesday here in the Kia Studios. We got to give away some tickets right now. To Dead & Company. We'll have tickets right now, a pair, to see Bob Weir, Mickey Hart, and John Mayer at Phillips Arena on Wednesday, November the 29th. Tickets are still available at Ticketmaster.com. We're going to give them away right now to lucky caller number 404-741-0929, 404-741-0929. No trivia, no nothing. You're just lucky Thanksgiving giving them away. Happened to look on, I think it's Natalie Foltz who works for Fox. She has a video up right now on Twitter of southbound traffic leaving Atlanta. Let's just say if you're going to the south side of town for any reason today, you ain't getting there no time soon.
Did you see that picture yesterday that sent out, like, LA traffic?
The LA one.
I said that was a Tuesday.
Dude, we were there. That's where we had Thanksgiving last year, because that's what we went out for my wife's family. And I got stuck in that traffic. Mm-hmm. Dude, it makes you want to ram your head in through that windshield. It is, worst ever.
I learned a long time ago, because I used to drive down to Florida all the time for Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. I'd leave here on Wednesday. It takes you 3 hours to get to Macon.
Yep.
Because just getting through that McDonough interchange and everything, and then the worst would be coming back and you'd get stuck on the turnpike.
Yep.
Coming up on Florida, and then you're 2 hours at Okahumpka or whatever the last stop is. 2 hours sitting there waiting to pay your 50 cents to get through it. Like, dude, state of Florida, are you really that hard up for money? Seriously. I don't think you should be. All this money and guys are messing me up trying to get back. But this is why I don't travel anywhere on Thanksgiving. I just stay home.
Yeah. I mean, it's going to be crazy, man. Luckily, I don't have to go that way at all. But nope. Yeah, it's going to be, it's a mess going down 75.
And here's the cool part. Tomorrow, we're live at McCray's in Smyrna.
Or Friday.
Yeah,
that's tomorrow.
That too. Tomorrow, we're live at our house sitting there gorging ourselves. Yeah. Friday. The route from McCray's to your house will be traffic free. So if you stay after for a little while, have a couple of beverages, Randy Mac, I'm looking right at you, hang out with your boys, hang out with your crew, enjoy some post-Thanksgiving good times with your people, it's a very easy ride back. And if not, you can Uber it.
I said I was going.
But here's the thing. How long are you staying?
Until the wife texts.
Of course I'm going because I got to work there.
You got to be there. But how long are you staying?
Yeah, until the wife texts.
I'll stay. I won't be there until 2:30.
Okay, so.
2:40.
I'll stay to the end of the game.
Noon game. I've never prayed for TV timeouts like I am now. Listen, I don't want nobody to get hurt, but if you got to take an extra couple of injury timeouts.
Yeah, I'll stay to the
whatever
end
it takes. Just, is that bad? Like, we're begging you. We just want to hang out with you, Randy.
I said I was going to hang. I said I'm going. I'm going, and I'm staying. Well, I have to go, but I'm staying.
You know what this is? Mark's going to find a way to weasel out of it.
That's what I think.
That's my hometown. Man, it's Smyrna. Whatever. The main streets of Smyrna, that is 4 miles from my house.
Whatever.
That's a $6 Uber ride.
Caroline's going to hit you with it, but Daddy, and you're going to stay.
No, and I'll be like, well, sweetheart, come pick me up. She's 4. She can drive now. She's good.
Why not get in the Barbie battery car and Mark, come on up.
The Barbie Power Wheels going up South Cobb Drive at a mile and a half.
Can you see Mark shoved into that thing?
Yes.
Like one of the Barbie Power Wheels?
Yes, I can.
Me
back
too.
Seat driving from the back of a Power Wheel?
Yes, I can.
Honey?
Am I the only one that bought my kid one of those? He had a Mercedes. He had like the Mercedes G-Wagon. And he drove it for like a year, and then he was too big for it.
Dude, you go in our garage. Samson has like a used car lot in there. He has Mercedes, a Lexus, I'm talking about a huge fire truck, a motorcycle.
Randy puts a lift kit on a Power Wheel.
Yeah, man, he has he's like a used car lot in that garage.
He actually put a moped motor in there now and drives it around the yard.
Dude, there's nothing like it, dude. When he's on that four wheeler going around the house,
you know what you just described?
Yeah,
people with money problems.
Moving on.
Let's talk some Falcons. You heard Dan Quinn talking about Jaylen Collins, no longer with the football team. He has been released. He'll obviously go through the waiver process. I'm actually surprised that we're, you know, almost 24 hours into this thing, and Jaylen Collins hasn't found a landing spot yet.
I mean, it's really surprising. But one thing I do know, John, is what teams are being cautious about is one more strike, and he's gone for it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? He's gone for a long time, so that could have a lot to do with it also. No. That has a lot to do with it. I think that's probably 80% of it right there is, can we trust this guy? Because when you're talking about what Dan Quinn said in his press conference, a lot of it was about the trust that was lost by him and Thomas. So teams are going to look at that. Yes, he's a very talented player. But the thing about it is one more strike and he's gone for a season.
Yeah, and what's interesting, and you read between the lines of what DQ said there, and he said, you know, we decided back in August and there was some trust broken. It almost sounds like this was predetermined that he was done.
And that's why that's the curious thing about it, Jay, is was it more or less a salary type thing where they didn't want to release him yet? I mean, that's what I'm curious about because I think they made up their mind after, you know, after the knowledge was public, because they already knew they knew months in ahead before any of us knew that he was going to be suspended. But was that just like, let's hang on to him for a little bit because of the salary implications? I don't know.
You know, we were reading the tea leaves during the preseason. Remember, there were times Jaylen Collins didn't get in until the fourth quarter.
You remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and then we were all curious, like, why isn't he playing? We all thought, is he in a doghouse? And he was in a doghouse because I'm sure that they got the results before training camp.
Sure.
Yeah. And so,
well, even remember training camp. Remember, Jaylen Collins is practicing with the fourth teamers. So we're going, what?
We were all curious about that.
Is he out of shape? I mean, what was going on?
He was curious about that.
He was
suspended.
Yeah.
That's what he was.
And I thought it was a really good question you asked Arch earlier. Would this scenario played out differently if just say, you know, remember a year ago, Desmond Trufant gets hurt. Mm-hmm. And obviously, we don't want any of our guys to be injured. But does it play out differently if one of our starters is out?
That's a bit.
And you're having to go to C.J. Goodwin. And Goodwin actually played quite a bit against Seattle. Or Bleedy Ray has to all of a sudden be active. Would it have been different? I'll be honest, I'm surprised. I thought, and I even mentioned this during the pregame coverage on 92.9 The Game. I said, I wouldn't have been shocked if Jaylen Collins was back on the active roster and somebody like Bleedy Ray Wilson was let loose, only because he hadn't been playing anyway.
Right.
But I guess the equity and the trust was all gone for Jaylen Collins.
It was all gone. it really was, for you to release a young, talented player at a premium position. And that's the thing about Young. He's talented, and he's a corner, and there's not, just not a lot of them. But at the same time, when trust is gone, it's gone. And I'm sure, and what I said earlier in the segment, and I'm pretty sure I'm right on about mm-hmm. this, teams are saying to themselves, this guy, one more slip up, he's gone yeah. for a long time.
Well, and that might be why they're allowing him to clear waivers, because yeah. if you pick him up off waivers, you assume his salary. If you let him clear waivers, you could pay him, what, $50,000 for the rest
and
of the
see,
year.
See, that's why I was like, well, he's talented, so teams might be bidding for him because mm-hmm. of the scenario you just played out. That's usually what happens.
Right.
But I'm like, he's talented. Guys might put maybe multiple teams that put it in a claim for him.
What becomes really interesting, and Thomas Dimitroff has done a much better job drafting. You know, there was obviously one year that it didn't go well, but – you know, he has built this team. Him and Dan Quinn and Scott Pioli have done a great job building young talent, bringing it to the team. But look at some of the guys that aren't here. And I'm just doing guys off the top of my head in recent drafts. Brian Hill was drafted this year,
mm-hmm.
gets cut.
Mm-hmm.
Jalen Collins, second-round pick a few years ago, gone. Rashid Hegman, second-round pick a couple of years ago, gone. I mean, those are guys that you thought would be part of this rotation. Now, what it also tells you, you've found guys like Courtney Upshaw who have been better than you anticipated. You've got guys like Toronto, expendable.
Mm-hmm.
You found a C.J. Goodwin. Because, again, if they don't have Goodwin and Brian Poole, an undrafted guy, Jalen Collins, to me, is still on this football team. But it becomes, all right, your second-rounders haven't been great, but your undrafted guys have been great. Imagine if you can get the Hegmans and Collins of the world to have their head screwed on straight. This would be a team that, and again, they were in the Super Bowl a year ago, that would continue to stay on that path.
Oh, no doubt about it. No doubt about it. And that just shows how this team is being built. And we all know, we know the first-rounders, they get all the pub or whatever. Second-round picks are so valuable.
Oh, absolutely.
They are so valuable to your team. And when they're not on the roster at the end of their rookie contract, mm-hmm. it's usually a bad pick.
Yeah, it is.
It's usually a bad pick.
And that means Collins and Hegman are both bad picks.
Yes. If you're a second-round pick, you do not make it to your second contract with your squad, it's usually a bad pick.
Hey, elsewhere.
Or you can't afford him.
Well, there's that as yeah. well. Or elsewhere, Devontae Freeman, a guy that doesn't look like he's going to play. I know we heard the cut from DQ earlier on where, you know, he's going through the protocol. I saw a tweet that Devontae feels like he's ready to play. The cautiousness that they have to take right now with Devontae Freeman is his health is more important than running back out there for a division game. Two concussions in a year, and it's really been about a 3.5-month stretch. It starts to become scary. Do you think Devontae, Randy, has to change the way that he runs the ball?
No, because he can't. That's who he is. He's been running like that since
Pop Warner.
Pop
probably.
Warner. When he's playing with Uncle Luke. He is a little man that runs big.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he does. And he takes hard licks.
Yeah.
Like, that's the thing about it. He's small. His vision is outstanding. Can he tote the rock like a bell cow? I think he can, mm-hmm. but at the same time, it gets to a point where you got to get out of bounds sometimes. I mean, I know you. I know where he's from. All right? I know how they're taught down there and everything.
Yeah.
I know that. But if you want to prolong your career, I know he got his money,
mm-hmm.
which is good. He can't change the way he runs because that's what makes him who he is.
What becomes interesting for the Falcons when he does come back, and it doesn't look like he'll play this weekend, but when he does come back, do you change the way that you use him? Because he had been almost 65-68% of the touches this year. He did that a year ago. Tevin was the backup. Do you change the way – you have to go back to Devontae at 68%.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, that's what you paid him. This is the reason he got – the contract extension
mm-hmm.
because of the 68%. We know that we have got to put the ball in this young man's hand because, one, he can catch the ball. Two,
yep.
he can make people miss. He can make something out of nothing. And that's the one thing. That's what differentiates him and Tevin, the vision.
Yep.
Like, Devontae sees things. And, like, Tevin creates things because he's bigger and more explosive. But you got to have 24. If you want to go where you want to go, you got to have 24.
It's going to be an interesting dynamic that plays out with Tevin when you get towards the end. When you get towards the end of his contract, is it this year is the end of his contract or next year?
This is his.
I think this is third year
this
in the
is
league.
His third year
because
mm-hmm. he came in. So Dan Quinn's 3 years. So this is his third year. So next year's last year in his contract.
Okay, so you got a dilemma that could play out with Tevin Coleman, and it depends obviously what's going on with Devontae Freeman. What's going on next is we will read between the lines with Mark Owens.
Kirby Smart talks about how much prep they put into preparing for the option when Georgia Tech, and we got some snitches in the house. Specifically, the preacher man's house.
Uh-oh.
We'll hear audio from behind closed doors. It's coming up next. Read Between the Lines, Sports Radio 99 on the Game.
T T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.